Okay, so maybe one question on the three modes, if you have any. Any questions about the three modes?
Hello, Ken Rinpoche. Just to understand pervasion, especially the use of, to understand forward pervasion, it says that the correct sign and similar class must be equal in extent, or that the sign must be lesser in extent than the similar class. Okay, this is page 5. So the sign must be equal to the similar class, which is the predicate, or the sign must be lesser than the similar class. So therefore, the sentence, the subject, sound is an impermanent phenomena because of being a product. Product and an impermanent phenomena are equal in extent. Correct? Correct. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so my question is this. If I look at a list of things which are mutually inclusive, let's say I look at functioning thing, under which there is product, impermanent phenomena, specifically characterized, etc. Mm-hmm. Can I say that I can this sentence, therefore, because they are equal the similar class and the sign are equal in extent. Can I say then, also in changing around, the subject sound is a functioning thing because of being an impermanent phenomena? That means I can always swap around,
yeah,
because they all exist in the mutually inclusive class. They are all equal in extent.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah, you can use that, yeah.
Okay, so I can just swap around the whole list of things. Yeah. They are equal in extent. Okay. Thank you.
지금 제 가서 강 같은 거 나가서 쉬어 강 거에 딱 비상 더 최대 딱 잡냐 봐 중나 드기어 이제 미세 양 강 거에 딱 비상 더 최대 아 잡냐 봐 거에 잡아요 말해
you know the sign that is stated in the syllogism we know the extent of the pervasion may be the same, but having said that, it's not necessarily so. So, if the sign that is posited, you know, if it is of a, if the extent of its pervasion is equal to the predicate to be proven, it is fine. But if it is greater, the extent of pervasion of the sign is greater than the predicate to be proven, then it is not correct. Okay? Yeah, so if the sign that is posited, if its extent of pervasion is lesser than the predicate to be proven, then that is also okay. Yeah. That is fine. Yeah. Anyway, it's there in the notes. Yeah. Because if the extent of the pervasion of the sign is greater than the predicate to be proven, then you cannot establish the forward pervasion. So the, for example, the syllogism, the subject, the sound of a conch, is impermanent, because it is, it arises through human effort. Well, if it is a result of human effort, it is necessarily impermanent. Yeah, but whatever is impermanent is not necessarily a result of human effort, right?
Right. Okay. You got? Huh? What took you? Can't quite convince me, but Chapnamachuna idea. Timena Chapchuna Chine, and Tigay, you are. Or Chapchuna meeting. That Chapchuna meeting, you can send it.
So basically, the extent of the reason, the pervasion, the extent of the pervasion of the reason, yeah, is either equivalent to the extent of the predicate to be proven, or is to be lesser. Yeah. If the extent of its pervasion is greater, if the extent of the pervasion of the sign is greater than the extent of the predicate to be proven, then the forward pervasion cannot be established. Right. So like the one, the syllogism that we have been using, the subject sound is an impermanent phenomenon because of being a product, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, so the subject sound is impermanent because of being an instance of product. For example, if you state the sign instance of product, it's an instance of product. So, from the sevenfold division of consciousness, yeah, subsequent cognizer, correctly assuming consciousness, awarenesses to which an object appears but is not ascertained, doubting consciousness, and wrong consciousness, these five are non-valid awarenesses. So, of these five, non-valid awarenesses, yeah. The first is a subsequent cognizer, isn't it? And the definition is as it's basically the same as what was given out many lessons ago, right? So it is a knower which realizes what has already been realized, yeah.
Mm.
So that's the definition of a subsequent cognizer. You know? But the main thing to understand about this definition is not, you know, it's not just about, you know, a mind that knows something that has already been known, you know, or what has been really realized. But rather the import is that whatever a subsequent cognizer realizes, it realizes it through the force of the realization by the valid by a valid cognizer in the first place. Yeah, that's the import. That's the meaning. You know, you understand? Yeah, so that's how you should understand the definition. Okay, a knower which realizes what has already been realized, in brackets, the meaning is by a valid cognizer. So whatever it knows, whatever a subsequent cognizer knows, its knowledge is induced, you know, by the prior realization of the object by a valid cognizer. Okay. So when subsequent cognizers divided, they are in general there are three, yeah, isn't it? There is the directly perceiving subsequent cognizer. You have a conceptual subsequent cognizer, and then you have a subsequent cognizer that is neither of those two. And the first one, directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, is divided into five. So what are the five types of directly perceiving subsequent cognizer? So you have directly perceiving subsequent cognizers that are respectively a sense direct perceiver, a mental direct perceiver, a self-knowing direct perceiver, a yogi direct perceiver, and a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer. There is none of those four. So the first, an illustration of a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer that is a sense direct perceiver. Yeah. So the illustration is the second moment of a sense direct perceiver apprehending blue. Then an illustration of a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer that is a mental direct perceiver, so is the second moment of a clairvoyance, knowing another's mind. Then the second moment of a self-knowing direct perceiver experiencing an eye consciousness would be a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, that is a self-knowing direct perceiver. Then illustration of a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer that is a yogic direct perceiver would be the second moment of an uninterrupted path of seeing. Then a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer that is none of those four would be the second moment of a direct perceiver. Yeah, there's nothing much to say about these five. I mean, nothing much to explain. But if you have any qualms, huh? Because it exists, yeah. So why is there a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer that is none of those four? Okay, if you were asked, if it is a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, is it necessarily one of those four? Sense direct perceiver, mental direct perceiver, self-knowing direct perceiver, yogi direct perceiver. Is it necessarily one of these four? If it is a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, is it necessarily one of these four? Is it necessarily one of these four? Huh? Hey, the Bible can never be wrong one, no? So you should do reverse engineering. So there is a fifth one here, right? A directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, there is none of those four, right? So basically, is there a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer? If it is a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, is it necessarily one of these four? You think? Huh? I don't think it's a case of you not understanding, but what would your answer be, yes or no? Is it necessarily one of these four or not? What you have to say? You say it's necessarily one of these four? Oh.
No, if somebody asks what your answer, you have to say yes or you have to say no?
What you say, yes or no? What you think? Huh? Hello? Okay, those who say yes, why you say yes? Cannot find one example. They found it is there. So is it?
First, very beginning part, yeah. That's Shibokaru Yingoribes.
If it is a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, is it necessarily one of these four? Any of these four? Is it necessarily any of these four? Yes or no? First, you have to be sure about that first. Huh?
Either you have to say yes, either you say no. You must have competent whatever you say, yeah?
Whether it's a yes or no, the point is you have to be confident. You have to know why you are taking a position. That's the main point. It's not just about saying yes or no, you know. Right? So there is something that is other than these four, yeah? Because it is there in the it's there, right? But directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, there is none of those four. You said you do reverse engineering, yeah? That's why I told you, right? I don't believe. So the illustration will be a second moment of a direct perceiver, right? So if you are asked, is the second moment of a direct perceiver a mental direct perceiver? Is the second moment of direct perceiver mental direct perceiver? What would you say? Is the second moment of a direct perceiver a mental direct perceiver? If you were asked this question, what would you say?
No, your mind be active for asking. Otherwise, there's no point to debate, then you won't get anything. Yeah, you must, what you say, you must have confidence. No, you must understand. Musum kiji nipa te ta anikana ishesu kyu jishirves ta tota.
Is the second moment of a direct perceiver a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer that is a mental direct perceiver? Is it? Is the second moment of a direct perceiver a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer that is a mental direct perceiver? What would you say? Kaka, yes or no? Wei si e ma? Sarang niya ma? Huh? No, yes or no? We don't need the word necessarily. It's the same. Is a person necessarily a human being? No, right? Is person a human? Same, or you say, is person a human? You know the definition of person already, right? Is person a human? Why no? A person is not necessarily a person is not a donkey.
Somebody asks you, is a person not human being, only is a person, yeah, you must understand all living being, yeah. Somebody asks you if the person is donkey, what do you answer? No, isn't it? If you say person is donkey, what's the problem?
Huh? Then we have to go to Universal Studio. There's one there, yeah?
No, what's the problem? You must see. If you say person is donkey, what's the problem? Huh? What? No, it's not like that. You cannot say that one. That's not the logic. If person is donkey, doesn't mean you become donkey, isn't it? It's not like that. The logic doesn't work that way. Yeah. If you say person is donkey, then you have to say person is horse also. Reason is same, isn't it? If you say person is donkey, then you have to say person is horse, you have to say person is elephant, then something common locus, elephant and the donkey. No? Not about you become donkey, not like that. No, you must get the idea, yeah? If you say, what's the problem? If you say, person is donkey, then you say, yes. Then somebody asks, then immediately somebody asks the same question.
Horse.
This person is horse.
Medically.
What do you have to say?
Yeah.
You cannot say no, because only you say yes. Then somebody asks, person is elephant, what do you say? Mm-hmm. Then person becomes everything. Huh? So like that. So now here, Motuksinta, Muslim Jiji Nibasana, Muslim reverse.
So it is the second moment of a direct perceiver, a mental direct perceiver.
No. That 이중호수 말이나 내중호수 말에 라중호수 말에 온봉호수 말에.
So if it is not a mental, if it is not mental direct perceiver, then it is also not a yogi direct perceiver. It is also not a self knowing direct perceiver. It is also not a sense direct perceiver. But it is a direct perceiver, right?
Actually,
it's not a big deal, frankly. I mean, but the thing here is, it's just about, you know, using the brain, you know, because when somebody debates with you, when somebody asks you, then you have to be able to say something, isn't it? You can't say that it is, for example, mental direct perceiver. Then you run into problems, right? Yeah, so, I mean, if you think about direct perceivers, if you think about it, you know, Of course, if you think about it, if a second moment of a direct perceiver in reality, it has to be one of these four, right? There's no way out. It has to be one of these four, isn't it? Yeah, you know, second moment of direct perceiver is either a self-knowing direct perceiver, yogi direct perceiver, mental direct perceiver, sense direct perceiver. But in debate, if somebody gives you states the subject, the second moment of a direct perceiver, then what are you going to say? You know?
Okay? You bring this logic there, how you're going to answer, yeah? And debate. Yeah. Or toxin, that kashela mewe, that anashin, musum la, yijin musum, rani musum, yajin musum, shi mato, shi kaime musum, shakani to wakata.
So, but you know, in the earlier when we looked at direct perceivers, quite a while ago, right? Direct perceivers, when divided, they are those four, yeah? Sense direct perceiver. Mental direct perceiver, self-knowing direct perceiver, and yogi direct perceiver. Only four are positive, yeah? Right? Not more, not less.
That is the main thing. And it's the most important thing.
So those were the four divisions of a direct perceiver. But then the thing to think about is that, is there a direct perceiver? There's none of these four. So if somebody were to ask you, is there a direct perceiver? There's none of these four. What would you say? What would you say? Is there a direct perceiver? There's none of these four.
Yeah.
Are you stuck? If yes, why? That's the thing.
You understand my question? You don't get. You don't get. Then I have to explain everyone again, each one. What is direct perceiver? What is mental direct perceiver? So, what is self? No, I have to explain everything again. Yeah. So you know all these four. So now question is,
if it's a direct perceiver, is it necessarily any of these four? No?
Sounds like the word in English or Tibetan doesn't make sense to you. Maybe I talk in Tibetan more pun here.
So, generic term, generality. Hi.
Just to clarify, so this fifth category is just a generic term describing the class of sense direct perceiver. That's all right. So it actually is a direct perceiver necessary has to be one of the four. Okay. But at the same time, this generic class is none of the four because it cannot be any one of them. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
If a directly perceiving subsequent cognizer is not necessarily one of the four kinds of direct perceivers, then what about the category of direct perceivers itself? If it is a direct perceiver, is it necessarily any of those four?
So.
That was a question. So you have to answer yes or no. Because if there's no answer, then there's no discussion. There's no debate. Only through debate, then it becomes clearer. Yeah? But you have to give an answer. Yeah? Okay, next.
What does it mean? That
Okay, then there are conceptual subsequent cognizers, yeah, and there are two types, yeah. Conceptual subsequent cognizer that is induced by a direct perceiver. And then there's the conceptual subsequent cognizer that is induced by inferential cognizers. An illustration of the first is effectually concordant ascertaining consciousness, ascertaining blue, that is induced by a sense direct perceiver apprehending blue. So first, you have a direct valid cognizer, direct valid cognizer. Apprehending blue, ascertaining blue. Then that induces, or rather you say that they subsequently you have a remembering consciousness. Yeah, remembering consciousness, apprehending blue, or thinking of blue, yeah. And the illustration of a conceptual subsequent cognizer that is induced by an inferential cognizer would be the second moment of an inferential cognizer realizing sound to be impermanent. So by depending on the sign product, one generates an inferential cognizer, realizing sound to be impermanent. Yeah. So the first moment is a valid cognizer. And the second moment would be a conceptual subsequent cognizer. Yeah. In this case, an illustration. Yeah. That is induced by an inferential cognizer. Yeah. So, then is there a subsequent cognizer that is neither a direct perceiver nor a conceptual consciousness? So in the division of subsequent cognizer, there are three stated. Yeah. Directly perceiving subsequent cognizer, conceptual subsequent cognizer, and then there's a subsequent cognizer, there's neither of those two. So if you have to posit an illustration for this, what would you say? So illustration will be subsequent colonizer. So if it is a conceptual subsequent cognizer, is it necessary one of those two? Something that is induced by direct perceiver or something that is induced by inferential cognizer? Yeah. So if it is a conceptual subsequent cognizer, is it necessarily one that is induced either by a direct perceiver or an inferential cognizer? If you think about it, probably no. For example, the subsequent cognizer that is induced by a conceptual subsequent cognizer. So in debate, if you, for example, you can say conceptual subsequent cognizer itself. Bolli? So, but anyway, what we just brought up here is the subsequent cognizer that is induced by a subsequent cognizer. So there is none of the two, right?
Ask the question. Ask immediately.
This one, the conceptual subsequent cognizer that's induced by a direct perceiver, a few lessons ago, Ken Rinpoche was teaching us about the sequence of the sense direct perceiver apprehending the object followed by the mental direct perceiver in the shortest moment of time, and then the conceptual consciousness realizes the object. Can that conceptual consciousness realizing the object be understood to be this conceptual subsequent cognizer that is induced by a direct perceiver? Yeah. The answer is yes. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to ask. Conceptual subsequent cognizer that is induced by a direct perceiver. What is the meaning of induced actually? What do we mean by induced?
Following to lead to guide to
So, why do we remember? Why do we generate a remembering consciousness, remembering blue? Because of having realized blue sometime in the past, right? Blue was realized by a valid cognizer. So the valid cognizer realizing blue is the condition. That's the thing that induces, yeah. That is the condition which then leads to one to remember blue. In order to remember something, the thing that you remember doesn't need to be realized by a valid cognizer earlier. So without realizing something in the first place by a valid cognizer, is it possible to remember it later on? Is it possible to remember something that you did not realize?
Yeah. Hello. You got the question? Yeah, so what the answer?
Huh? If we never kena whack, can we remember we kena whack no? By someone? So in order to remember something, does that something needs to have been realized by a valid cognizer?
Yes, no. Huh? What? No. Who said no? Put your hand up. Yeah, Kelvin, give example.
Lie. You are remembering two moons or you're remembering seeing two moons?
Say remembering a past experience of seeing two moons. Yeah.
So basically, you're saying you remember the I consciousness apprehending two moons.
Which is a wrong consciousness.
So do you remember two moons or not?
It's possible to remember experience of seeing the two moons.
You remember two moons or not in your life?
No.
Why?
Because there's no two moons.
Huh?
There's no such a thing as a two moon, right, up there.
So then?
So that's a case of remembering something
that is...
So you
don't remember two moon in your life?
Don't remember two moon?
Two moon.
But can remember the appearance of having two moon?
Cannot remember two moon, isn't it? Not possible to remember two moon.
But can remember the experience of having appearance of two moon?
Can you remember two moon or not?
There are some proponents of two moons in this room, very, very strong proponents. I think I shall not mention names, but... I shall not mention names, but yeah. Oh, the table only school, huh? Yeah.
So there's no such a thing as a two moon, right?
Huh?
There's no such a thing as two moon in the sky, right?
So you don't remember, isn't it?
Yeah, cannot say remember two moon, but can remember the experience of seeing two moon.
Except, yeah, two moon you cannot remember.
Two moon cannot remember. Okay, probably have to accept that.
Huh?
Have to accept that.
Okay. So then what do you remember?
But can remember the appearance of seeing two moon.
So?
So that will become a remembrance of remembering of appearance of a non-existent, right?
What you asking, Sister? Yeah. The question was?
Your question is that we have to, in order to have a memory, has it got to be something that is realized? Yeah. So this is an example of remembering something that is not realized by a direct perceiver, right? Because there's no such a thing as two moon.
I think it's difficult to pause it, being able to remember something if you have not realized it earlier with a valid conviction. Yeah. I mean, of course, according to a school, a system like this, yeah, the Sutra School, which is also a proponent of self-knowers. Why, those tenets, those systems that assert self-knowers, at the end of the day, why do they do it? It all boils down to memory, isn't it? Especially being able to remember the experience of seeing something. Not remembering the object, but the experience, let's say, why do we remember an eye consciousness appearing blue? Why do we remember that there was an eye consciousness appearing blue earlier? Because at that time, there was a self-knower experiencing that eye consciousness apprehending blue. Basically, just to account for memory. So, if you haven't realized blue, you don't know what blue is, it's not possible to remember blue, yeah? Anyway, this is the sessions of most of the tenets up to the autonomy midway school. Yeah. So without, let's say, a prior realization of blue by a valid cognizer, there's no way you can remember blue later on. Similarly, why do we remember the experience of having seen blue? This is layman's English, the experience of having seen blue. But technically, why do we remember the eye consciousness that apprehended blue earlier on? Why? Because at the time when the eye consciousness was apprehending blue, at the time, there was a self-knower experiencing that eye consciousness. Yeah, so that self-knower is a valid cognizer, yeah? Realizes it, experiences it, yeah? So therefore, subsequently, later on, then it's possible for us to remember the experience of having seen blue. Remember the eye consciousness apprehending blue. So, one is possible to remember the appearance of two moons, yeah. I mean, if you had experience of, you know, seeing two moons, for whatever reasons, later on you can remember, yeah. Similarly, you will remember what we dream, isn't it? Oh, there was an elephant. You know, you dream of an elephant, yeah. Later on, you remember, oh, you know, oh, I dream of this and that, you know. We remember what we see in a dream, isn't it? We remember, for if you, let's say, remember we dream of an elephant, you know. So later on, we remember that appearance, yeah. A dream consciousness is not a valid cognizer, isn't it? However, it is possible to remember what we dream, isn't it? So it follows that in order for remembering consciousness to arise, it need not be preceded by a valid cognizer. Then if that's the case, then there's no need self-knower, what?
Maybe others are non-existent. I think you're getting more confused now, huh?
Although there are many tenets who assert self-knowers, but they are not the ultimate tenets. Yeah. This is not the final. Basically, it's not the final reality. Yeah, if you think about their logic. I mean, they have a reason why they posit self-knowers, but you analyze the logic and then you find faults with it, you see? So if now we talk about the reality, there's only one reality, right? There's no final reality, there's only one reality, right? So if we talk about the reality, the what exactly is and not, yeah. In general, how does one remember something that you haven't realized that you have? In general, right? It doesn't happen. You cannot remember something that you did not see or experience or realize, right? I mean,
yeah.
Is it possible for someone who has never ever seen blue in his life to remember blue? Why? What's the reason? So basically, from this you can see that, you know, it's very difficult to say that, you know, you can remember something without having realized it in the first place. So according to the Consequence Middleway School, if it is a dualistic mind, it is necessarily valid with respect to its appearance, what appears to it. If it is a dualistic mind, you hear the word or not?
Just live in print now, okay?
So if it is a dualistic mind, then it is necessarily valid with respect to what appears to it. We are not saying that it is a valid cognizer. It is valid with respect to what appears to it. So for this reason, therefore, although a dream consciousness is a wrong consciousness, let's say you dream, or in a dream there's an appearance of an elephant, a dream elephant. And although that consciousness is a wrong consciousness, but because it is valid with respect to the appearance of a dream elephant, therefore it realizes a dream elephant, yeah, in that sense, right? So therefore, subsequently, it's possible to remember that appearance of a dream elephant. So this is the position of the consequence middle way school, the ultimate tenet, the highest. But you know, what about the autonomy middle way school, the mind only school, and so forth, right? Like sutra school, whether they assert that the same thing, you know? So something to analyze. So next, we have correctly assuming consciousness. Yeah. And when divided, there are five, right? Basically, in essence, I know correctly assuming consciousness is either generated in dependence upon a reason or no reason. So, correctly assuming consciousness which do not have a reason. So let's say, you know, in dependence on someone saying to you, oh, sound is impermanent, but you know, no reason is stated, you know. Then somebody says that you hear it and then you think, oh yeah, sound is impermanent, you know, with no reason whatsoever. So that is a correct belief, a correct, correctly assuming consciousness, yeah.
That
Next is generating a correctly assuming consciousness by depending on the wrong reason. Yeah. For example, you think that sound is impermanent because it is not able to perform a function, for example. So this is you believe, oh yeah, sound is impermanent, no? Because it cannot perform a function, you know, which is basically just a completely wrong reason, contradictory reason. But then you think, oh yeah, sound is impermanent. The reason is contradictory because whatever is empty of being able to perform a function is necessarily permanent, yeah, not impermanent, yeah. Next, or you generate a correctly assuming consciousness by depending on indefinite reason. For example, you conclude that sound is impermanent because. Oh, sound is an object of comprehension, for example. This is an indefinite reason because whatever is an object of comprehension is not necessarily impermanent. Then next you have a correctly assuming consciousness for which the reason is not established. For example, you generate a conclusion, a thought, thinking that sound is impermanent by depending on the sign of being an object of apprehension by eye consciousness. This is the reason is not established because you can't establish this sign on the subject, you know. Next is a correctly assuming consciousness for which a reason exists but is not settled. Not delineated, maybe? Then I'm up. Product is the correct sign in establishing that sound it is an impermanent phenomenon. But in order for product to be a correct sign for someone, that someone must have established the three modes, yeah. The three modes must have been established for him, right? Isn't it? Tio? He must realize, you know, the three modes, right? For example, the sign must exist with the subject. The sign is necessarily the predicate to be proven. Only when all these conditions come together, only then is he ready to generate an inferential valid cognizer, isn't it? So, although product is the correct sign in the proof that sound is an impermanent phenomenon, but for someone, if you state the correct sign to someone who has not yet ascertained whether sound, he has not ascertained that sound is a product, and he has not ascertained that product is necessarily impermanent. Even if you state the correct sign for this person, it hasn't become a correct sign. Do
you know?
The reason exists. The reason proving that sound is impermanent exists. The correct sign exists, right? But until that person has settled it in his or her mind, has realized it, you know, like the three modes, until then, he has yet to generate an inferential cognizer, isn't it? So although in general it is a correct sign, but for that person whom you are trying to prove that sound is impermanent, for that person he hasn't become a correct sign yet. Yeah. So therefore, although it's a reason, but it's a reason that has not been settled. Yeah, has not been settled.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay, in Sutraksu, there's an ordinary being directly realized impermanence.
In the Sutra school, can an ordinary being realize impermanence?
Directly.
Okay. So, in the Sutra school, probably not, because the mind directly realizing impermanence according to the Sutra school will be a yogi direct perceiver, which exists only in the continuum of
superior. So, in that sense, the syllogism whereby the subject sound is an impermanent phenomenon because of being a product, that person must realize that product is impermanent phenomenon. So, in other words, when you say ascertained by valid cognition for an ordinary being, will be based on an inferential valid cognition. In other words, the subject sound is an impermanent phenomenon because of product being a product, right? And product is an impermanent phenomenon because of something else. It will be an inferential valid cognizer for an ordinary being.
Which will not become
The other person must realize that the product is in an impermanent phenomenon, right? It's impermanent phenomenon, right?
Uh-huh. Then?
So that is actually an inferential cognition for the other person also, right?
Oh, you mean that realization? The realization for to the person who you are trying to prove that sound is impermanent, that person must necessarily have the inferential cognizer realizing that product is necessarily impermanent, is it?
Yes. So that person, that valid cognition for an ordinary being is just an inferential valid cognition, right? It won't be a direct valid cognition.
So basically you're saying, can an ordinary being directly realize that product is impermanent? Right.
Yes.
That's the essence,
yes.
That's the question, right?
Yes, yes.
Can an ordinary being directly realize that sound is... not sound.
Product
is impermanent.
Yeah.
Directly realize that. In the context when we're talking about impermanence here, it's in subtle impermanence, yeah. Right, when we're talking about realizing impermanence, it's subtle impermanence.
Yeah.
Because of the definition of a yogi direct perceiver, which is generating independence upon its own uncommon empowering condition and meditative stabilization, which is a union of calm and special insight, and it's an other knowing exalted knower in the continuum of a superior, which is free from conceptuality and not mistaken, right? So in the case of a direct perception of so in many ways, basically an ordinary being cannot realize sattva impermanence directly, only a superior. And also, a mental direct perceiver apprehending form in the continuum of ordinary being is an awareness to which an object appears but is not ascertained, right? So the reason why an ordinary being, the reason why a mental direct perceiver apprehending form in the continuum of an ordinary being, the reason why it is an awareness to which an object appears but is not ascertained is this, because it only exists for the shortest of moments, right? Because if we say that a mental direct perceiver apprehending form realizes his object, then you incur the fallacy of that ordinary being realizing, you incur the fallacy that ordinary being realizes sattva impermanence. And then they will incur the fallacy that then he becomes a superior. So anyway, according to this school, Sutra school, only superiors can directly realize sattva impermanence. Yeah.
So that syllogism for an ordinary being is just an inferential.
Well, it's pretty much the same, yeah. It's like you can't realize that product is impermanent directly, yeah. I mean, for ordinary being.
Since you are talking about yogi direct perceiver, I have got something.
Yes.
Because functioning theme, manifest phenomena, is explicitly realized by a direct perceiver, direct valid cognizer. So in other words, a permanent phenomena is actually not explicitly realized by a direct perceiver, right? So how does a yogi direct perceiver realize emptiness, which is permanent phenomena? In other words, it cannot be explicitly realizing it. But you have to say it realizes it. So in what way is it realizing it?
The essence of the question is, does a yogic direct perceiver explicitly realize emptiness? That's the essence.
You got the question? How did you get the question?
For this system, yeah. How does a yogi direct perceiver realizes? How does a yogi direct perceiver realize selflessness of person? And by independence on realizing that the base of the selflessness is empty of dikasadi duche tongra ana lafshimi da
kansai kap ting da kansai da ba to ai de kadesh to gor sa duche du mo su to ne ti ting da ne shu to
ba so yeah by so the yogi direct perceiver realizes the selflessness of a person by in realizing the base of the selflessness yeah, the composed phenomenon. Independence on that, then it implicitly realizes that such a person is empty of or lacks a self. Yeah. So in earlier you remember whatever is a functioning thing is necessarily an appearing object of a direct perceiver, isn't it? Right? So, based on this, you know, is the selflessness of person an appearing object of direct perceiver or not? So, based on this, does the selflessness of person appear to a yogi direct perceiver? Whatever is a functioning thing is necessarily an appearing object of a direct perceiver, isn't it? If that's the case, is selflessness of person an appearing object of a direct perceiver or not? Selflessness of person is permanent, right? So, that being the case, does the selflessness of person appear to a yogic direct perceiver? Right. Because it doesn't appear to the yogic direct perceiver apprehending selfness of person. Therefore, it does not that explicitly realize it. A yogi direct perceiver does not explicitly realize the selflessness of person. But does a yogic direct perceiver realize selflessness of person? If you ask, you probably have to say yes, right? So, a yogic direct perceiver realizes selflessness of persons. So, yogic direct perceiver realizes selflessness of a person by a direct perceiver. So, you see, 여중원순기, 강사기, 다음에 원순기 더버려. 원순기라.
원순도 더버렸어.
원순도 더버려. 원순도 The word, the yogic direct perceiver realizes the selflessness of persons explicitly.
Directly.
Direct. 원순.
I'm saying two different words there. Yeah. 내가 원순이 강사였다면 원순도 더버렸어.
원순도 더버려. Yeah. So a yogic direct perceiver realizes selflessness of persons if we say translates ngun sum to means directly. So the selflessness of person is not directly realized by a yogic direct perceiver.
Think about it anyway.
Yeah. The yogic direct perceiver realizes directly.
Say something like that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yogic direct perceiver realizes the selflessness of persons directly. The selflessness of persons is not realized directly by what did I say? By yogi direct perceiver, right? 감사하게 담배는 것은 감사한데 담배는 여진 것은 이게 맞다고 No. There's something about it. No.
I don't know. This may be different. Yeah. So that's all today. 가슴 모순기 나유동 뭐 뒤집어 봐.
So the appearing object of a direct perceiver is necessarily a functioning thing, isn't it? We established that from the beginning, yeah. So is the selflessness of person an appearing object of direct perceiver? We have to say no, yeah. So then somebody will ask, isn't the selflessness of person so somebody will say that the selflessness of person is the appearing object of a direct perceiver because the yogi direct perceiver so because the selflessness of persons is the appearing object of a direct perceiver. Why? Because the selflessness of persons is realized directly by a yogic direct perceiver.
What's the answer? What are you going to say?
You agree? The substance of persons is not the appearing object of a direct perceiver, isn't it? But you accepted it just now, right? That the appearing of the substance of person is appearing object of direct perceiver because the substance of person is realized directly by a yogi direct perceiver. It follows. So the selflessness of person is not appearing. It's not appearing object of a direct perceiver, because there's no direct perceiver apprehending this. Because there isn't a direct perceiver that directly realizes the selflessness of persons.
Have a nice national holiday.
Then, regarding this yogic direct perceiver that realized selflessness of person, right? What is its object or engagement? How to pose it? I mean, this yogic direct perceiver that realizes selflessness of person, then what is the object of engagement of this yogic direct perceiver?
Selflessness of person.
Okay.
So as for the remain, do you have the AAA and what else? AAA and the doubt and the wrong consciousness. So you read it on your own. I'm not going to go through it. But if you have any questions, then you can ask. Yeah. But otherwise, I'm not going to go through it. Okay, so if you have questions about the remaining non-valid awarenesses, you can bring it up, yeah. Otherwise, we'll start on the mental factors, yeah.
Question, yeah, I saw some of the questions, but some are not necessary to explain myself here. I think you can pan out within the discussion. So only within the discussion, all the leaders cannot find the question, then okay, like don't ask me. Some of the question, I think, I saw some of this, what is impermanent, some of, I mean, we already talked before, so you know, first discuss among the leader group, then not talk to the leader each other. If really cannot find any really difficult question, then okay, then ask. Yeah. So basis find out within group with the discussion or question answer, you know, maybe if somebody know better, ask that. If really nobody can find, then okay, ask here maybe. Mm. Hopefully have some answer, I'm not sure, so yeah. That Sumjunga Pima Shikita the Lelhare, that Pondo Pondo Tim. That you put your share, Chazanti Locks, the Lelhare Dresh, that was some of Gunya Potana, some Tambachem, Kartuma, Mapjunga Shimoto Shim, Lelhare.
Okay, the 51 mental factors is much easier to deal with because it's straightforward. It's just listing, you know, what they are, that's all. I mean, yeah, it's like not much need of, you know, twisting the brain, you know. It's just, just going through the 51, right?
Yeah, just introducing each of the mental factors, what's anger, what's attachment, you know, that's it. Yeah, so now this one more complicated, maybe. Like that. So the next class, another one or 2 months, maybe more easy. Hope.
So, I mean, the subject is challenging, it's intriguing, yeah. But nevertheless, you've tried, right? You're listening, you're thinking about it, you're studying it. So that's very good, yeah. So of course, from my side, it's quite difficult also really to teach this, yeah. But because of your continued efforts, yeah, at listening and learning it, yeah. So that gives me some encouragement, yeah. I hope that's not a correct belief. It's shocking.
Okay, how to do the error? Jazan, that Chidan Takas, Nema, Bessipo, Sanya did under Yako, Nibas Yendoga, Chick Lelaro to her, the Fisher Konzo in a mutiny, Hawaii, Lelaro to give us.
Those of you who studied this in the previous basic program and who are now listening to this, studying this for the second time, I guess most people find it relatively easier, yeah. Yeah, because of having the reason why it's easier for them is because they have heard it before, right? So for those of you who are now hearing this for the second time, I mean, when I say this, I don't have to say anything else, right? I mean, it's very obvious, right? It's your own experience, right? But, you know, but perhaps the people who are doing this for the first time may find this like may not understand what I'm trying to say, you know. But yeah, but it is a fact. It is just a nature that, you know, when you do things, you know, again and again, you know, they become easier. Yeah.
So make sure it's become your subsequent cognizer, the new one. Okay, next time. Okay, then next holiday. Thursday is everybody holiday. Okay, no class, so come back on Tuesday. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Can I ask, is whatever the appearing object of a wrong consciousness is not necessary in existence? Is it right? The appearing object of a wrong consciousness is not necessary, not necessarily an existence. Is it right to say?
Você que não é nada, eu vou me inventar.
Yes.
Perhaps it may be all right to say something like this. Perhaps.
So I take
I take that as a
yes.
In Tibetan language, we have many ways of saying probability. You know, it's like, you know, in English it's like probable, possible, but in Tibetan there's so many ways we can say. You know, so this is like near the end of the scale already. Near, so, not the end yet. Near.
Okay.
동맥 So remember when we were looking at the facsimile of a direct perceiver? The non-conceptual facsimile of a direct perceiver, which are sense consciousness. They have their minds. They have a clear appearance of a non-existent. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Clear appearance of a non-existent. Right.
Uh-huh.
And we are supporting you there.
Okay.
Why you so silly? We are supporting you, no? Non-conceptual wrong consciousness, non-conceptual facsimile of a direct perceiver, and consciousness that has a clear appearance of a non-existent are mutually inclusive.
Okay.
So that means a wrong consciousness, a non-conceptual wrong consciousness can have a clear appearance of a non-existent, right?
Yes.
That's the point.
So does the clear appearance of a non-existent, let's say take for example, the eye consciousness seeing one moon and two moon.
Okay. Everyone says to see two moon all the time. Yeah.
Okay. You remember what I said earlier?
So, the appearing object of that eye consciousness seeing one moon as two moon is two moon, or is the clear appearance of two moon? Which one can we, is right to say? That the appearing object is two moon, or the appearing object is the clear appearance of two moon. Which one is right?
Some of us are proponents of one moon.
Because you already see it can be a non-existent one.
So if you accept that there's a wrong consciousness, the wrong consciousness can have a clear appearance of a non-existent, so you don't have to say appearance of two moons. Right? Non-existent, two moon is a non-existent, right? So you posit two moons, right? Then?
So it's two moon, no?
So is it okay or not? You put two moons as an appearing object
of that wrong consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So good.
Huh? Could be.
The shana do that, the Ninawa the shana, my dear, the young man, the Ninawa the shana do.
So, whether you say two moons or appearance of two moons,
either one is okay.
Should be okay. That was checked the shana, my share, some tongue or what?
So we have to think of to analyze whether to posit one moon or not. To the consciousness, you know, to the consciousness where one moon appears as two moon, does one moon appear or not? If one doesn't appear, how can you have two? So does one moon appear or not? To the consciousness where one moon appears as two moon, does one moon appear or
not? Inside doesn't matter. Appear one moon?
Does one moon appear? Yes, one moon. So is one moon its appearing object?
I spoil your nationality. Okay, stop here.
Okay, we'll finish off with the usual prayers here. So